Very good morning, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are coming to the final few verses of our study on the book of Ephesians. This section teaches us how we need to be strong in the Lord. And verse 13 is a re-emphasis of what Paul had already touched upon in verse 11. The difference between verses 11 and 13 is that in verse 11, Paul says to put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, whereas verse 13 talks about take unto you the whole armor of God. Before you can put it on, you have to take it up. The verb to take here is not just to take it and hold it in your hand. It has the idea of a person who takes something up and he has to put it on, to use it. You do not take it and do not know what to do with it. You might as well put it down. How do you look at this world, dear friends? Because how you look at this world will describe whether this verse is a verse that you're going to believe in and you're going to listen and do what it says. You look at our world. There are some parts of our world that are in constant conflict. And when you watch some of the news in these hot spots, even the news reader has to put on a bulletproof vest as they report the news. They are not directly in harm's way, but they are very near to harm's way, but just in case, they still have the bulletproof vest on. Do not need to mention about all the soldiers who will ride in all their motorized vehicle. Some of them will just go on foot. The kind of armament they have on is to keep them safe as possible, in case of bombs, in case of snipers. And so they will wear all kinds of armaments because they know they are in the battleground. You do not see any parent, any child, having any armament on when they are in the playground, because they believe that the playground is safe. There are no sharp corners. If the children fall, it is either soft sand or some rubberized material to protect them when they fall. The parents just sit there, relax, chit-chatting, drinking their soda, whatever it is. They are all relaxed because they are in a playground. And so how you look at this world, dear friends, will determine whether this verse will mean anything to you or not, whether you will take it up or you're not going to care for this armor that God instructs us to take it up in the imperative. If you see this world as a playground, there is no way you're going to take it up. You're going to be safe. You're going to enjoy. You don't care for what the Bible says, because it's not a battleground. You are safe. You are not in harm's way. The world is smarter than us, Jesus says, and Jesus is right. When the world look at their life, they see only this three-dimensional world, and they will do whatever it takes to survive and to come up on top in the three-dimensional world. If they have to lie, if they have to cheat, they will do it, just to climb up the corporate ladder to get a piece of this world. That's what they do. And so when they see their physical life in harm's way, they put on the armament. When they see their physical life is safe at home, they leave it out. We do not. We see the world as a dangerous place. God has told us it's a dangerous place, and we still do not put on the armament, unless you're not a child of God. You are still spiritually blind and you do not see the world the way that God wants us to see this world. And as long as you do not accept how God wants us to see this world, you will not put the armor on at all. Not even one piece. You just go on your life's way. You will do the barest minimum according to what is right in your own eyes as far as the Christian life is concerned. And you have been doing this for many years. And once it's been done for many years, it's even worse than when you first started. Because when you first started to craft and design your own brand or version of Christianity, you feel a little guilty. But now that after you have been used to it for so many years, it becomes a tradition. And you pass on this tasteless, unbiblical version of Christianity that you have designed for yourself to your children. You pass it on to them. Because when they look at your life, they're going to see a Christian mom, a Christian dad that is only Christian in church. But at home, there is absolutely nothing Christian about them. The kind of language, the kind of life, the kind of vices, the kind of relationship they have with the children, the kind of relationship they have with one another, has no semblance of Christianity. But then when it comes to church, they see a different mom, a different dad. Because the world to them is a playground. And that is what happens. When we see the battleground as a playground, we get injured, we get wounded. Not so much we per se, but the image of Jesus Christ that we bear. That will get wounded, and that will be so detriment to the people in our lives. Because we will continue to send out a message to them that this is the Jesus Christ that is able to save you. And when they look at this, they know that this cannot be the Jesus of the Bible. You know that. Because the Jesus Christ of the Bible is not a Jesus only on Sunday. Everywhere you go, you bear the image of Jesus Christ with you. Whether you are in church or whether you're at home or you're on holiday, there is no difference. You are a child of God forever. It does not change with the changing environment that you are in. That is not the Christ that you must portray to anyone. The urgency to put the armor on is real. Because we have already wasted so much of our time behaving as a wounded soldier of Christ. Either because we are ignorant, or either we are willful, whatever it is, those years since the day you are born again in Christ, right up to today, if you have not had the armor on, you have been a wounded soldier in Christ. And people look at your life, they are going to struggle to find any semblance of Christ by the way that they look at you, by the way that they listen to what you say, and by what they watch concerning what is important and what is not important to you in your life. And these people will definitely include your mom and dad who are non-Christians, your children who are struggling with faith, and they are perhaps not even believers. And they get confused. And if they are believers, they will be stumbled. Their mom and dad are like this. And for some of us, we just simply don't care. This notion of doing what is right in our own eyes is so real, it's so common. It's common in the world because they don't have the truth. That's why God never throughout the whole scriptures rebuked them for doing what is right in their own eyes, because the world will shout back at the Lord and said, you didn't give us God's word. What do you expect us to do? We have to move on in life. And so the only option for us is to do what is right in our own eyes. You did not give us God's word. And they will be right. But for the people of Israel, they had God's word, but they ignored God's word and they did what was right in their own eyes, and that's why the Lord chastised them. Do you and I have God's word? We thank God for the people who translated the word of God for us in the English language, and we speak English. And so therefore we have the word of God. And if you have the word of God, you and I have no right to design our own brand of Christianity. Each and every one of us has been doing that. You and I have to make sure that the word of God is our guide. Nothing else. And that's why Paul says, before you can put it on, you have to take it up. To take it up, then to put it on. Because this idea of take up has that idea fixed, built into it. Will you do it? Wherefore, take unto you. Nobody can take it up for you. You're going to take it up yourself. Will you take on to you the whole armor of God? This is your protection. Only protection. To protect what? To protect the image of Jesus Christ that you say you carry with you the moment you call yourself a Christian. That's it. That's what it means. To protect what? To protect the image of Jesus Christ. Your life of holiness. That's what you need to protect. It's not yourself. It's not your physical life. It's not your house, your money, your car. All these things are not important. They are temporal. People can take it away. You think God cares for all these material things? You think Jesus Christ came into this earth to die on the cross so that you can have more material things? These material things that are of the earth will be burned up by fire like you and I burn rubbish today in our countries. That's how worthless the physical world is. Don't waste one moment of your life pushing and pushing yourself and your children toward carnality, because that's exactly what material things is. The word carnal means flesh, fleshly things. Things of the flesh, things that appeal to the flesh. But that's what we are doing, because we think the world is a playground. And as long as we think that way, the armor will continue to be taken off. And we pay the price. We pay the ultimate price of bringing shame to the name of our Savior. And if you are truly born again, how can you sit there and not weep in your soul? As a child of God, if you're truly, truly born again in Christ, and you know what Jesus Christ has to do on the cross in order to save you, in order to save me, in order to save us. He shed His precious blood. He came down from heaven's glory to walk onto this earth to bear the shame and the abuse of sinful man because of your sins and my sins, and then to allow Himself to be publicly humiliated, and then to die the most cruel and slow and painful death on the cross, naked. For you and for me, if you have really understood what it means to be called a Christian, for Jesus Christ to do all these things for us, for you and for me, how can you and I not live a life of holiness and to take on the whole armor of God to protect ourselves so that the image of Jesus Christ that you and I bear will not be damaged? Parents, your children depend upon you, because your influence upon them will supersede every other person's influence. The Sunday school teacher's influence is only a couple of hours. The friend's influence may be a little bit more, especially when they are older. If you don't grip them and catch them when they are young to influence them for Christ, when they grow older, they're going to be influenced by the world and their friends. And by then, you try to draw them back to Christ, it will be called too little, too late. And when that happens, you can only go on your knees and weep. Because you know that if they die in their sin, you're not going to see them forever. They're going to end up in hell. And you cannot say that you are guiltless, you are blameless. You know when they are brought up into your life by God, when they were infants, and you are already a Christian, you have 100% control over their life to shape them and to mold them in the direction of Christ, and you have been shaping and molding them in the direction of the world, because all you care about is how to study, how to study, how to study in this society of ours. Study is God. Education is God. This is our problem in Singapore. We think that education will solve our world's problem. No, it will not. There are so many educated crooks. You know that. The education of the world can only give you a life in the world. But the knowledge of God will give you life eternal. And if you despise the word of God, there is a heavy price to pay. So take up unto you the whole armor of God, the Bible says. Would you do that? That's your only protection. And if you do not, be prepared for the heavy price. Do you know how the Bible describes the Word of God? Because the putting on the whole armor of God is to know the Word of God and to obey it. That's the way to do it. And if you keep on running away from the Word of God, you keep on having a totally disinterest in the Word of God. Don't study the Word of God. How are you going to have the armor on? You look at the pieces of the armor. It talks about truth. It talks about righteousness. It talks about ever ready to give the gospel. It talks about the shield of faith. It talks about the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. How to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, when you don't even know the Word of God. All these things refers to the Word of God, having the Word of God as part and parcel of your life. But the disinterest that you have in the Word of God is tragic. Some of us don't even have a consistent program in the study of God's Word. We come as and when it pleases us. Do you know how sad it is? So many things that are supposed to be basic, we don't even know. How are you saved? Are you saved by grace or are you saved by faith? Do you know? Are you saved by grace or are you saved by faith? Which one is it? Do you know the answer? Or that is a problem for you. You do not even know a simple statement like this. Some of us. Those who have been attending Bible studies, hopefully you have learned and you know the answer. You've been studying the book of Romans, and it is made abundantly clear that every one of us, we are saved by grace, we are not saved by faith. If you think you're saved by faith, you are wrong. We are saved by grace, and grace is the work of God entirely, completely. Jesus Christ came down upon the earth to die for us, rose from the dead for our justification. That is grace. We are not saved by faith. Do you realize that? And yet, in the book of James, it says that we are saved by faith. You see the confusion? That's why it's not as simple as you think. We are saved by faith, not by works. In other words, the appropriation of this grace is not by working for it, it's by believing, and that means the appropriation of the grace that saves us is by faith. That is emphasized in the book of James. The book of Romans talks about we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. These are basic concerning your salvation and my salvation. If you despise the word of God and call yourself a Christian, please understand there is a heavy price to pay. I'd like to give you one passage of the Old Testament. Please take it home and read it and share it with your own soul and perhaps share it with your children as well. Today is the 8th of November, and so it is Proverbs 8. One day, one chapter. Would you do that? And this morning, as I woke up, this was the chapter I read, and it jumps up into my heart, and I pray and ask God to forgive me and to help me love His word more than ever before. It's about God's word. It is the wisdom of God, the word of God personified as if it is a person. Proverbs 8, verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, shouting from the rooftop, would you want me? Do you want me? Wisdom said, and understanding put forth her voice. Synonymous parallelism. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. The word of God is shouting in every place, in every corner. Listen, listen, will you take me? Will you listen to me? Will you hear me? Oh, ye simple, those who do not know God's truth, God call them simple. You may have the IQ of an Einstein. You may know all the knowledge of the world, but God still call you simple because you do not know the knowledge of all knowledge, and that is eternal knowledge. Oh, ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the openings of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. You see, any book can give us that kind of guarantee that in the Bible, everything is in righteousness. Nothing evil, nothing wrong, nothing. No book can give us that guarantee except the Word of God. Parents, this is the book of life. Give the book of life to your children. But before you can do that, know the book of life. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that findeth knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Verse 10 is very strange to us, isn't it? For us we'll rather receive silver and not knowledge, and not instruction. We'll receive choice gold and rather than knowledge. That's our problem. Isn't that true? You spend hours upon hours upon hours getting more silver, getting more gold, thinking that because I call myself a Christian, I have a place in heaven, and now I want heaven in heaven and heaven on earth. And that's our problem. God says you can call yourself a Christian all you want, but if you are not really a Christian, all your shouting that you are a Christian will not make a difference. A child of God who knows Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, knowing and experiencing what Christ has done for him, he will never deliberately continue to live in sin. He will never, because he can't. Receive my instruction and not silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Verse 32. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me, that is against the word of God, wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me, that is God's word, love death. That's the word of God speaking to us. Personified as a person, do you care for God's word? If you hate God's word, if you show no interest in God's word, then God says, you love death. You love death for yourself. You love death for your children. You love death for your friends and everybody that God sent into your life. Take unto you the whole armor of God. That means know God's truth, so that you will live a life of truthfulness and righteousness, so that you will be ever ready to share the gospel, so that you will always have the shield of faith that the evil one cannot attack and succeed in the fiery darts that he will shoot at you. And then have the helmet of salvation, so that your salvation is assured, definitely anchored in God's truth. And always be ready to wield the sword of the Spirit. Know the word of God well, so that the word of God can allow you to be the best counselor to your own loved ones and friends, to give them biblical advice that will point them in the direction that is eternal and not the direction that will condemn them in hell. All these in this book. It's as simple as this. And wisdom says, I am not hiding. I am shouting from the rooftop for everyone to hear, to listen, and to obey. And that's why we have so many Bible studies. We have so many throughout the whole week where Bible study groups are made available for you to attend and to be blessed. Because otherwise, you are thinking that you are in the playground when you are in reality the battleground. And that makes you the biggest fool in your life, in your family, in your workplace. The world knows when they are in harm's way, they put on the armor. When they go to battle, they put on the armor. You and I, the moment you call yourself a Christian, Satan will target you. Satan knows that if he succeeds, he will have the best instrument for his purposes, to bring shame to the name of Christ. That's the best way to get believers to love the world, to transgress. So he will pour upon you all kinds of sweet carrots dangled in front of your eyes. And the moment you take a bite, he knows that you will continue to keep on eating. And the moment he gripped you and got you, the best years of your life of witnessing for Christ will now become a witness for Satan. All the while you call yourself a Christian still, doing all those superficial Christian things. And he will use you. And he knows that you will be a wonderful hypocrite for him to use to bring down your own children, to bring down your family, to bring down your friends. And of course, in the church, you are a non-entity because nobody knows you and your life does not impact anybody's life. You come, you disappear, and nobody is blessed by your existence. Is that the kind of life that God has saved? Take up the whole armor of God. Because whether you like it or not, as long as you're on this earth, and if you're truly born again in Christ, Satan will want you. And so God says that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. The evil day is already here. Every day that you waste, that you do not stand up for Christ, that you do not do the will and the work of Christ, that your family members and friends do not see Christ in you, you have become a casualty. Do you remember chapter 5, many, many weeks ago, we studied about Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. Remember that verse? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. It's the same. The evil day is already before us. Every day you wake up, it is an evil day. An evil day means a dangerous day. Dangerous to what? Dangerous to your witness. Now remember, if you're truly born again in Christ, you cannot lose your salvation. Please remember this. Satan is not trying to tempt you, to seduce you, to take away your salvation. If you're born again in Christ, you'll be so filled with gratitude and thanksgiving that you know that this life on this earth, no matter what you endure, no matter what you go through, the worst thing that Satan can do to you is to take away your physical life. And that he cannot do without your Heavenly Father's permission. Not one hair on your head can ever be touched by him without your Heavenly Father's permission. And so if you have to endure difficulties and suffer loss in terms of your name, in terms of your property, in terms of your freedom and your life, so be it. It's okay. There are many, millions in the past who have already done that for Jesus' sake. And it is worth it all. However, if you do not see today as a dangerous day and tomorrow as another evil day, that means dangerous day, you're going to lose it. Lose what? You're going to lose the day and bear a bad testimony. And that's why Paul says, remember, redeem the time. That means you and I have already lost so many days bearing a bad witness for Christ. Don't lose another more day. That's what it means by redeeming the time. And so God says to us, when you have the whole armor on, that is your protection. And this protection will suffice. This protection, when you put it on, is more than enough to endure whatever Satan will throw at you, so that you will not speak a word out of turn, so that you will not live a life in sin. And even if you trip and stumble and fall at times, you will repent and fix it. Don't hold on to your transgression because of pride and because of your silly notions, and you try to design your own brand of Christianity. Stop designing your own brand of Christianity, because that is doing what is right in your own eyes. It is no better than the world. At least the world, they are sincere. They don't have the truth. They have no other option. You have the truth, and you have no right to design Christianity on your own terms. And that's what some of us have been doing. We feel like coming for a prayer meeting, we come. We don't feel like it, we don't come. As if it is no big deal, and we are so used to it, it doesn't even bother our conscience anymore. We don't care very much for God's word. We think that once a month, once a week, I open the scripture. Once a month, I attend this contact group or this Bible study group. It's more than enough. It is not enough. Simple, basic things some of us struggle with. And you and I call ourselves Christians for so many years. Stop deluding yourself. It doesn't matter whether you've been a Christian for 50 years of your life. If you have not been studying God's word, you are no better than a person who is 5 minutes old as a Christian. Christianity is always measured by your maturity in Christ. The maturity in Christ cannot come without God's word. And God's word is not the word that is in the head. God's word is not to be argued and talked about from the pulpit or around your dining table. It is the word that is lived out and practiced in our life daily. That's what it is. And God says, you and I, if you do not take on the whole armor of God, then you will not have the power, the strength to resist. That's the meaning of the word withstand, to resist. To resist in the evil day. Resist what? Resist Satan, who will dangle the carrot, will dangle the rod to wallop you if you do not submit to his wills, to his wiles. That means he will take away things from you. He will persecute you. Are you afraid of threats? He will use this because it has been a very successful method. Remember, the word wiles means method. Threaten you. If you do not do what I want, Satan says, I will threaten you. I will take away your job. Are you scared that you will lose your job and so therefore you do whatever it takes to hold on to your job? That you are prepared to spend hours upon hours sacrificing the Lord's Day that you're supposed to keep holy just to have that extra dollar, thinking that that is the way? You have just designed Christianity according to your own terms. And Satan has won. You are afraid. And so you are threatened by, you will use your boss, you will use anybody. Are you afraid? You have forgotten who your Heavenly Father is. That your job is given to you by God. Not by man, not by your ability, not by chance. It's by God. And He puts you there for a witness. And you have forgotten that. And you think that you are there just to make money and to make more money. And that's where the foolishness continues to set in. And so therefore you become frightened. You become very afraid. And so you do whatever it takes. And the more you do it, the harder it is for you to come back to the Lord. Because every day you waste is the day that will add to your years of wastage. That you could have used it for the glory of God, but instead you have used it for the glory of carnality. It's gone. It's not going to come back. And that's why God says, redeem the time. Don't waste any more day. Don't waste 1 minute of any day. Enough wastage. Don't do it anymore. Would you? There are so many Bible studies available. We have the Sunset Gospel Hour. It is populated more by non-Pandanites than by our own people. To our own loss, to our own shame. It is designed for you to bring your friends, and you don't even come yourself. And other people from other churches, when they heard about it, they have never come before, and they come, and they were so thankful and so grateful because they never knew what the Word of God is like. Because they never get the Word of God outside in their own churches. You think that just because you have one meal in the morning or once a month somewhere, some Bible study is more than enough? You don't do that to your own physical body by eating one meal a week or one meal a day. Why do you do that to your own spiritual body? Why do you keep on designing the will of God and the work of God according to your own ideas? And how dare you do that to God? God says, Jesus says, you want to follow me first, you deny yourself. If you deny yourself, that means your own ambitions, your own ideas, your own notions must be put aside. Then you take up the cross. That means Jesus says, I will give you a cross where your life is supposed to be lived. You don't live your life your own way anymore. Otherwise, don't follow me, Jesus says, because that is number two. And then the third step, if you are prepared to do number one, number two, then Jesus says, you follow me. In other words, call yourself a Christian only if you have denied yourself and then you have taken up the cross that Jesus has given to you. Otherwise, don't call yourself a Christian. Please, please, don't call yourself a Christian. At least you do not damage the image of Jesus Christ in the lives of your friends and family members. Are you really born again in Christ? Pray tell. If you are, then put on the whole armor of God. Because God says with the armor on, you will have the strength to be victorious. You will be able to resist the evil one on the evil day. And every day is an evil day because every day, if you are not witnessing for Christ at home, between you and your husband, you and your wife, you and your children, if they are not on good terms, fix it. Please, for Jesus' sake, fix it. Same at in your workplace. It's the same thing. Fix it. What does it take to fix it? I am sorry. That's all it takes with all your heart. If the person sinned again, then the person apologizes. Keep on forgiving. Keep on fixing. Is that so hard? For Jesus' sake, will you do it? Don't do it for anybody. For Christ's sake, your Lord and your Savior, He died on the cross. You want to talk about shame? He shamed Himself for you and for me on the cross. Otherwise, every day will be gone. It will continue to be an evil day and we will lose. And so, the protection is given to us and the preparation is given to us as well. Will you do it? And then finally, and having done all, having done everything, whatever Satan throws at us, you will still stand. What will stand? The image of Jesus Christ in you. That's what it means. Not that you will physically stand. It doesn't mean that. It means the image of Jesus Christ will never be diminished. You can take away my freedom and put me in prison and I will still praise the Lord. I will never curse the Lord Jesus Christ. I will witness to the prisoners wherever you put me. You want to burn me at the stake, so burn me at the stake, whatever it takes. I will not bring shame to the name of Christ. That's what it means. To the very last breath of my life, I will continue to honor Jesus Christ in this earthen vessel that God has given to me as I live on this earth to serve Him. That's what it means. Having done everything, whatever Satan throws at us, no matter how long this life on earth that I have to live, at the end of it, right up to the final breath, the name of Jesus Christ must never be diminished, not even in the slightest. That's what it means, the perseverance. This is our world. You know that in the middle of every year, we have our church camp. And that is for family, for parents and children. At the end of the year, we have a lot of fellowship camps for the children, for the young people. We have the YF, we have the junior worship, and we have the teens camp. Why are parents not encouraging their children to attend these camps? You look at what they can gain if they were to attend. Are you interested? Are you interested in your children learning how to pray for those who are junior worship? That is the best thing that they can learn. If you do not know how to teach them to pray, P3 to P6, this is the best time to instill in your children the importance of prayer. And I know that Preacher Joshua Young will do a good job in teaching you the Lord's Prayer, your children, every segment of the Lord's Prayer from the beginning to the very end, and to emphasize one particular aspect of the Lord's Prayer that we talked about, that is learn how to forgive. You know how important that is to teach our children how to forgive at a young age, so that when they grow up, they will learn how to forgive. Because learning to forgive is a lifelong exercise. You know that. Because many parents, many husbands and wives, they are struggling with forgiveness. Teach this to our children. And now is the best time to catch them and to put them in the direction. And parents, if your school has some other program, you make a choice. It will always be this. This is a spiritual exercise. Please understand this. Everything you do is a spiritual exercise. Why? Because if you are born again, you are spiritual. There is nothing secular or carnal in what you do. Why do you think Jesus says, if you give someone a cup of cold water in my name, you will not lose your reward? Because that's a spiritual exercise. Why? How can giving someone a cup of cold water be spiritual? Because you are spiritual. And so your decision. Sure, there will be school activities and so on. That is Satan's work. Same. Why can't you come for Sunset Gospel Hour? There are many other activities, family response, family activities. These are all designed by Satan to put there for you to make a choice. And as long as you keep on making wrong choices, he wins. He wins. Please realize and understand the same for prayer meeting. Whatever it is a choice that you make. If you make the right choice, you pay the price. And the price is the damage that you do to the name of Jesus Christ that you carry. Plain and simple. The junior worship. You want your children, P3 to P6, to learn about prayer, and you do not know how to teach them, now is your opportunity. Push them in the direction. Whatever school activities, you write to the school and tell them, no thank you, my son, my daughter has a more important activity, and that is to instill in them the importance of prayer meeting, prayer life, I mean. How to pray. What is the Lord's teaching concerning prayer? For the teens, 7 to 12 December, take my life and let it be. Learn devotion. The morning message is faith unfeigned. Do they really have genuine faith? For the teens. To teach them. Again. To help them, assure them of their salvation in Christ. To catch them while they are still young, where their life is still made up of soft clay that is still moldable before they become adults and their character is already hardened. Let the word of God continue to work in their lives. Parents, push them in this direction of spirituality of life. Remember, those who hate wisdom love death. That is what God says. You choose, please. It is your life, your children's life. I can't live for you. I can only live for myself. You can't live for me. God holds each and every one of us responsible. And for the lives of our young children that you and I as parents are responsible for, you have to decide for them right now, while you still can. Because when they become adults, they will decide on their own. And the time you want to influence them is over. You can only give advice to them. And you know the spectrum of upbringing a child. Right up to the age of 6, 100% influence. 6 to 12 primary school, the percentage will decrease. By the time they are in P6, 12 years old, your influence may be 50%. If you spend enough time with them, 50%, maybe more, maybe less, around there. By the time they get into junior college or poly, by the time they're 18 and 19, your influence is less than 10%. And by the time they are 20, 21, it's all over. This is the spectrum of bringing up a child. And as parents, what segment of the spectrum is your child? You ask yourself. If you spend enough time with them, you continue to advise them and influence them, it will help. But the less time you spend with them, the less time you let them make their own decision, the younger they are, the worse it is for you. Because they don't know what is right and what is wrong. You do, hopefully, from the Bible. Remember, the Bible promised us, everything inside is in righteousness. There is no guile, there is no evil in the Bible. Whatever you follow, the Bible says, thou shalt not do, you don't do. Thou shalt do, you do. And it will always, guaranteed by God himself, always turn out for your good and your children's good. That's how wonderful the Word of God is. It will give you life eternal, more desirable than precious gold, precious metal, rubies. Is that true of your life? We started by asking you the question, how do you look at this world? If you look at this world as a playground, you will not stand. You will fall. And the image of Jesus Christ in you is already so badly tarnished and damaged. And if you do not stop that damage, ask yourself one simple question, am I really born again? That I would allow the image of Jesus Christ in this body of mine to be so badly damaged and I don't even care. Am I really a Christian? Because God promised me in scriptures that if I were to stray away, he promised me because he loved me, he will chastise me. And if you have not been chastised and you just go on with life as if everything is well in your soul and you know it is not and nothing happens to you, then either God is a derelict father, which he is not, or you are not a child of God. You only think you are. This is not a game. This is life. This is eternal life in heaven or in hell. That is what is at stake. Dear friends, please see this. Please understand this. Will you stop the slippery slope of waywardness and come back to the Lord and put on the whole armor of God? Take it up and put it on, so that you will be able to resist the evil one and the day of evil. It has already come. So that after done everything, you will remain standing and the image of Christ continue to shine brightly by the way that you live, and people will remember you for what you have done. A bright light for Jesus Christ. And this light has touched my heart and my life. And may these words come from your own children, your friends, your colleagues who know you best, whose life has been touched by your life, and they are found in heaven because of your light in Christ Jesus. This body can do. Therefore, do not go after gold and silver and rubies. They are fool's gold. Go after eternity, eternal things. Your choice. The Christian can stand, is God's promise. Will you stand? And the image of Jesus Christ continue to stand strong. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to us, O Lord, out of thy holy word. And may our lives be examined under the searchlight of thy truth. To all of us who truly know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, forgive us, O Lord, for the many days that we have wasted by not bearing a godly witness and testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ especially to our family members, loved ones, and friends. And we have stumbled them because of this. Help us. Help me, O Lord, to come back unto Thee, that I may no longer live in sin, but that I may live a life of holiness and righteousness in Christ according to the Scriptures, that my children, my wife, my friends, my family members may see Christ in me. For this is the reason You have saved me and placed me here on earth before You take me home. We pray, Father, for some who may be professing believers, may Thou be merciful to bring conviction that they will no longer be professing believers, but true, genuine believers in Christ because of their love for You, because their love for God's truth, and their love for Christians. May Thy Holy Spirit bring to remembrance the word of everlasting life this morning, that our lives may forever be changed and transformed through the ministry of Thy Holy Word. Sanctify us by Thy truth, for Thy word is truth. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.